Lord, thank you that as we come to the table of the word this morning and we start to feast, I thank you that you will feed us till we're full. Thank you. Thank you for a feast in your word this morning. Thank you for that, Lord. Amen. Well, we're going to dive straight into the word this morning. But don't change that awareness of God's presence. Because we're meant to read his word in his presence. Makes a huge difference. One of the series I'd love to do at some stage will be about delighting in the word. Because I think many of us read the word and we've got so many chapters we've got to get through a day, or we read something like the word for today and we think, oh, good, got that done, now I can get on with life. And we miss the delight that God has for us as we feast in the word. So my prayer is that you will feast a little bit this morning. I started this message a couple of weeks ago, and I know some of you weren't here, so I'm going to do a brief recap on what I started. We're actually looking at the book of Nehemiah, which is in the Old Testament, and which you can read through and see is in a historical account about a man called Nehemiah who leaves Babylon and goes to Jerusalem and helps them rebuild the walls that are there and set up the gates. And go, oh yeah, I suppose that was a good story. Read it through. Let's go on to the next book. But the wonderful thing about God's word is that there are so many amazing truths there for us to discover. As I said last time, many Christians understand that when we look at God's people coming out of Egypt, we are looking at a picture of what it means for us to get saved, that we come out of Egypt or come out of the world, and that God has this promised land for us. Well, when we come to the book of Nehemiah, we also have a whole story painted there for us to understand. See, the word Nehemiah means Jehovah comforts. And it's a picture of the Holy Spirit's role in our life and how he seeks to bring restoration to us. Because just like the people in those days, they had the temple there, they had the worship of God there. But all round the city were walls that had been broken down by the enemy. And the gates had been burned with fire. And it left the people vulnerable. It left the people feeling shame. Because their city was not everything it was meant to be. It was meant to be the glorious city of God. And here these people felt like we are so far short of what God has for us. Love God, but we're in a mess. And I believe that there are Christians who are in the same place. I love God, but my life's a mess. So the Holy Spirit, he doesn't just come along for the ride. He just doesn't say, okay, well, I'm going to be with you until you go to heaven and just make sure you get to the right destination when you go. He's got more in mind than that. He is called the Comforter because we need comfort. Anyone discovered that? Okay. He is called the Helper because we need help. Has anyone discovered that one? Well, the Holy Spirit likes to do things. He does not like to be inactive. And I believe he wants to get involved in our life and in the rebuilding process. Now, if you weren't here last time, I encourage you to read Nehemiah chapter 1 at home. It gives you a bit of the background of Nehemiah, who he was, and the journey that he went on with authority to Jerusalem to make a difference. We're going to pick it up in chapter 2. This is Nehemiah coming to Jerusalem. Nehemiah 2 verse 11. So I came to Jerusalem and was there 3 days. Again, last time I said, you need to keep your eyes and ears open when you read the Word of God. When you read 3 days, it is not just telling you about something historical. It is painting a picture for you. 3 days speaks of the work of the cross. Jesus died and was buried, and he rose again on the 3rd day. Nehemiah was in the city 3 days. That tells me that the Holy Spirit does everything in our life based upon the finished work of the cross. Okay, then let's find out what he did after 3 days. Verse 12, then I rose in the night, I and a few men with me. I told no one what my God had put in my heart to do at Jerusalem, nor was there any animal with me except the one on which I rode. And I went out by night through the valley gate to the serpent well and to the refuse gate and viewed the walls of Jerusalem, which were broken down, and its gates which were burned with fire. A historical record, yes, but also a picture for us to look at and say, there's truths here. There's truths here for my life. What was he up to? Why the valley gate? What is the serpent well about? Well, when you read the word, start asking the Lord, what does that mean? Why? And let the Lord speak to you. So let's start by having a look at Jerusalem under the time of Nehemiah. Now, right up in the top right-hand corner, you will see the temple and the altar. Over on the very right side, you will see the east gate. The east is where the sunrise is. Do you know that as a Christian, you are a new creation. You are the temple of God. The temple in you is perfect because God is in you. That is the east gate. Well, when Nehemiah came, where did Nehemiah start to do some work? Well, if I was God, I'd have him start working by the temple. Sounds a good place to start. But no, where does he go? He goes as far to the other side as you can. He comes right down to the bottom, and I better click that way, right down to the valley gate. That's opposite to where the temple is. See, the Holy Spirit is not afraid of the places in our life that are far away from God. The Holy Spirit is not scared of sin. He is not scared of mess. Now, last time I asked how many people had heard of the Valley of Hinnom, and one person put their hand up. Anybody else today have heard of the Valley of Hinnom who wasn't there last time? Nope. Who has heard of Gehenna? Yes. A lot of hands go up. In the time of Jesus, the Valley of Hinnom had been changed to be called Gehenna. Gehenna was the rubbish dump. Gehenna originally was the place where there was a worship of all kinds of occult practices. There was human sacrifices that went on there. It was a place that became known as the Valley of Flames. In that place was where they put all the rubbish. Everything that they did not want went in to the Valley of Hinnom, hence the place of flames, the place of judgment. That, folks, speaks of our past. Now, when I was talking to the Lord about that, I was saying, Lord, why a gate? I'd much rather build a wall. How about you? I'd much rather say, that's my past, I'm not going there, and nobody else is knowing about it. The Holy Spirit helps us build a wall, but he also helps us establish a gate. Why? Because if we only had a wall, we would live with shame. Do you know the Bible tells us that one day we will look upon the devil, the one who tempted us, deceived us, and we will look at him and go, is that all you are? The Holy Spirit wants to help us know what is in our past. See, once you're born again, you're a new creation. Your past is in the past. But I believe he wants us also to have a gate. Because there's times when it's good to take a look back and say, thank you, Jesus, for your grace. There's times when, in looking back, we can do so without shame because we know who we are. We know we've been set free. So that's the Valley of Hinnom. It's not on this map, but outside in the Valley of Hinnom was the serpent well. Nehemiah went to two places. He went out through the valley gate to the serpent well. What does that speak of? Well, tradition says that there was a well there that a serpent wrapped itself around. A well speaks of where we receive life from. And I believe it speaks to the places where we were wounded, especially as children, where we came and we received what we hope would be love. But instead, we were rejected. Where we wanted that affirmation and that encouragement, but we got rejected. It's those wounds from the serpent that Holy Spirit wants to heal us from. Now, that's what I touched on last time. The message is up online. You can go and go back over it and receive some more out of that. But today I want to move on to the second gate that he went to. Okay, and I went out by night through the valley gate to the serpent well and the refuse gate. That's the New King James. It's a little bit more polite than the visual. It's called the dung gate. That was the second area that Nehemiah, as a picture of the Holy Spirit, went. Why? See, the valley gate speaks about our ability to deal with our past and say, I am a new creation. That is my past. There is a gate. I know how to close that gate. But the dung gate speaks of our present. Do we know how to deal with our humanity and be a lover of God? Do we know how to deal with temptation, with failure, with sin? Do we know how to deal with rubbish? Can we take it out the gate and not put ourselves out with the rubbish? See, the dung gate actually faces into the same valley, the Valley of Hinnom, the place where the rubbish is meant to go. I find a sad fact amongst many Christians is that they put themselves out with the garbage. They mess up, they sin, and they wander for days in the Valley of Hinnom. Why? Because they feel bad, they feel guilty, they feel dirty, they feel unclean. And so they punish themselves. Do you know one of the hardest things to do after you mess up is say, Lord, you forgave me for that. Thank you. And keep walking in fellowship with the Lord. See, let me illustrate it this way. Once a week, all of us in this city have a truck that comes round and picks up our garbage and takes it away. If a truck driver drives up to a house week after week after week and there is no garbage out on the curb, do you think he says to himself, wow, what clean people they must be that live in that house? They have absolutely no garbage. Do you think he'd say that? Or do you think he'd think, I don't know where they're putting it, but one day there's going to be an awful smell around here? See, 1 John says, if we say that we do not sin, the truth's not in us. We're living a lie. Jesus himself said, there's none good but God. What does that mean? That means that we have to learn to deal with our humanity as a lover of God. If you've had little kids, you will know the smell that comes in the room when one of them needs their diapers changed. Can just nod on that one. Imagine if you just got a fresh nappy or diaper, whatever you want to call it, and put it on the top. Sprayed some air freshener around. Would that work? I'm seeing heads shaking all over the place. No, you know that that will not work. Now, as husbands and wives, you may debate over who is going to deal with it, but you know somebody has to deal with it. Do you know the... seems a crazy illustration, but I'll go with it anyway. Do you know the best way to potty train a little kid? Through the love of being clean. You don't make them feel bad for messing themselves. You help them enjoy what it feels like to be clean. Don't run around in dirty diapers. Holy Spirit wants us to know how to clean up the messes. See, the role of the Holy Spirit in us is to help us walk in righteousness. Most of us think that his role is to make us feel guilty over sin. But let's have a look at what Jesus said in John 16, starting with verse 7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. And when he has come, he will convict the world of sin. Okay? So we grab hold of that. The Holy Spirit convicts of sin. Keep reading though. And of righteousness and of judgment. Three things he convicts of. Verse 9, of sin because they do not believe in me. The moment you got saved, the Holy Spirit stopped convicting you of sin. Now that might be a shock of a statement for some of you. What is the sin he convicts of? It's the sin of unbelief. He is not like somebody in your life that was always pointing out faults. And some of us have been raised under that. And we think the Holy Spirit is going around saying, you mess, you horrible, naughty little dot, dot, dot. You are such a mess. You disgust me. That is not the Holy Spirit at all. He's a comforter. He's one who loves and embraces. Let's keep reading. Verse 10. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and you see me no more. The Holy Spirit wants to convict you of righteousness. When you mess up, saying, you're God's kid. That's not who you are. Let's clean that up. But you are not some smelly, dirty little kid that we want to put outside the house because you smell. No, you are somebody precious that we will clean up and we will help you learn how to deal with your humanity. Last one, verse 11, of judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. Who's judged? You? How many Christians are living in fear of judgment? Who's judged? The ruler of this world, which is the devil. You've passed out of judgment. Let's go on to 1 John 1. I'm only picking out a couple of these verses because that's all I can fit on there. But in the original, there are no chapter divisions. So I've gone on to chapter 2, verse 1. But there are no chapter divisions. Verse 7. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. The problem is that we run into the darkness. The problem is that we take the trash out and we leave ourselves out with it. We need to know how to live in the city, and the Holy Spirit looks in our life to see, do we have a gate? How many grew up with mum and dad saying, I want you to take the trash out? Quite a few of you, yep. How many thought that you had to leave yourself out with the trash? You put the trash out and you come back in and you close the door. As Christians, we need to take the trash out, come back in and close the door. Verse 9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Don't lose fellowship with the Lord when you sin. I used to live with the pattern that when I sinned, It would take me about 2 or 3 days of just feeling so rotten. See, we do when we sin. That tells us we're a new creation. We are not made for sin. But I used to feel so bad that I wouldn't read my Bible, I wouldn't pray, I wouldn't go anywhere near Jesus because I just felt so ashamed. Took me years to get to the stage where I'd sin and go immediately, "Oh Jesus, thank you," and start fellowshipping with him. Why? Because in the fellowship with him, I stayed in the light. And in the light, we are cleansed. Don't go wandering out in the valley of Hinnom. Don't go wandering out through the rubbish gate or the dung gate and think that that's where you live. No. Stay in fellowship and let him, just talk to him and say, "Thank you. You paid for that sin. I am clean because of your blood." As you keep that fellowship, sin starts to lose its grip. Carries on. Next chapter. "My little children, these things I write to you so that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous." And the dream that Ray had a couple of nights ago is that, where Jesus stands up and he says, "We're rewriting the record." Do you know that God does that? Do you know that one day you will get to read God's ongoing hall of fame? You'll get to wander it. We've got a taste of it in Hebrews 11. I challenge you, go and read Hebrews 11 and then think about the story of that person and you will see how God rewrites our history. What does it say of Sarah? Sarah believed God. She was in the tent, she was laughing. And then when she was challenged about laughing, she lied. "No, I didn't laugh, no, it wasn't me." And the angel of the Lord said, "Well, you did laugh." I mean, arguing with God, lying with God face to face, hiding in your tent saying, "Oh yeah, that will be the day." And God rewrites her story. Says, "Sarah believed God." What's it going to say about your life? Let God rewrite your story. I think you'll find it's a long way different from the story you tell about how much of a failure you have been. And I've got good news for you. God's story trumps your story. Let's finish with this verse. It's in the Message, but I love it. "The amazing grace of the Master, Jesus Christ, the extravagant love of God, the intimate friendship of the Holy Spirit be with all of you." We need to understand grace, folks. And when we do, we can start to live an intimate friendship with the Holy Spirit. Don't put yourself out with the garbage. You're God's kid. If you need your diapers changed, get your diapers changed. And let God teach you how to walk in your humanity as a lover of God. If there's times when you're facing temptation and you want to say yes, tell the Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, I'm being tempted and I would really like to say yes. Give me the strength to say no. See, most of us are waiting for God to make us patient. Well, he's our patience. You don't have to wait. Driving along in the car, you see that idiot in front of you and you want to blast on your horn. I hear an oh yes over there, I won't look that way. All that you need to say, Holy Spirit, be my patience. You don't have to blast on the horn, cut him off, and then spend 3 days feeling like, oh, I'm so hopeless. I mean to be a Christian. And I did that again. Oh, dear God, I'm such a mess. Had an argument, stormed out the house, slammed the door, standing outside on the front step going, oh, I guess the neighbours heard. They know I'm a Christian. Oh, dear God. When am I going to be a good Christian? I'm a hopeless Christian. Let's just go stand out on the curbside with the garbage. We laugh because it's too close to the truth. The intimate friendship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Holy Spirit wants to help us not only know where to build walls, but also to establish gates, because he does not want us out in the valley of Hinnom. He wants us living in the city of God's presence. Let's pray. Holy Spirit, we thank you that you left heaven to come and live in us. Help us to have that intimate friendship with you, where we lean upon you to be everything that we're not, and to become so entwined with fellowship with you that we walk in the success that you have for us. You're our strength. You're our comforter. You're our guide. You're our wisdom. You're our patience. Everything that we're trying to become is who you are, because it's the fruit of the Spirit. It's who you are. And I thank you that you are already who you are in us. So thank you. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you that you'll even help us to say no when we'd quite like to say yes. You help us stand in our righteousness when we were stupid enough to say yes. You help us become clean because we were already cleansed by the blood of Jesus. And I thank you for that. And Lord, I pray for every person here that you'll help them to establish a gate in their life so that they can take out the trash outside the gate, release it, and say, that is not who I am. I'm a child of God, and walk back in the city. Thank you for that, Lord. Amen. If you'd like prayer this morning, I invite you to come forward for prayer, because I know that there's some people here. You keep hiking around in the valley of Hinnom, either because you don't know how to let go of your past and you're still living bound by shame to who you once were, Or you don't know the difference between you and garbage. You are not garbage. You are God's kid. And God wants to teach you how to put out the garbage, but bring yourself back in to the city and close the gate. So if you would like prayer, come forward for prayer. If not, I encourage you to go through to the cafe and to enjoy some fellowship through there.